Matthew chapter 24. As I said this morning, and again this evening, we will be looking at the second coming of Christ. Our principal text, place we'll be looking both times, is here in Matthew 24. And I want you to read with me, begin with verse 36, Matthew 24. Jesus Christ is talking. He says, verse 36, "Of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only." He's talking about when he comes again. Second coming, verse 37. "But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." Now, he's not condemning eating and drinking or marrying. What he's saying here is people are going to be taken up with these things as they are now, as they always have been, wholly given to these things and these things only, not thinking about God, have their minds, their affection, their lives, their pursuits set upon this world, this planet, and not on God. And they didn't expect it to rain. They were too busy. Nevertheless, it rained. I was sitting there thinking, while we were praying together, how unbelievably absurd it is that we would sit and we meet together at a time like this to supposedly to worship God, to look into this book. My, what a gift this book is. And I was thinking how absurd it is for us to be thinking about or concerned with a piece of dead cow in the oven than the living God whom we're going to stand before and face someday in the judgment. Or a hunk of metal sitting out in the parking lot that I've got to wash or wax or whatever needs detention. How absurd that we can't for 60 minutes, 45 minutes, think about the God before whom we will stand for in eternity. Well, Christ said this is what it's going to be like in the days of His second coming, as it was in the days of Noah. They heard Noah. They heard Noah preach, and everybody heard. He preached for 120 years. I guarantee you, the story was told all over the world. There's a man out, he says judgments is coming. He's building a boat on dry land, says it's going to rain. Everybody heard that, but they went on their merry way, eating and drinking and merry. But he says here, they didn't know until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. People won't know it. Some people will, by God's grace, because they're watching. But then two shall two be in the field, verse 40. The one shall be taken, the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, one shall be taken, the other left. Watch therefore, you know not what hour your Lord doth come. It doesn't say may come, doth come. Now, it's not my desire this morning, it's not beneficial or to talk about the rapture, verse 40 and 41. I'm going to talk about that. It's not my desire to argue or go into great detail with you concerning the different views of the millennium. It wouldn't profit us one bit, I don't believe. But the thing I do want to declare unto you this morning is not when Christ is coming, but the fact that He is coming. And I don't want us to be so taken up with the things, the signs of His coming, but rather I want us to see who it is that is coming. Because, like the quote in our bulletin says, it won't do you any good to know when He's coming if you don't know Him who is coming. If you don't know the One who came the first time and why, it won't do you. You better hope He doesn't come a second time. The only people who are really looking for Him to come anyway, the saved people, are those who will be found waiting. It says here that these were not waiting. They weren't. They didn't know. Even though it had been told them, right? They were willingly ignorant, Peter said in 2 Peter 3. Willingly ignorant. They knew. And Paul said in Romans 1, all men are without excuse. Everybody's heard that someone named Jesus Christ is coming back again. But people continue to eat and drink and to devote themselves entirely to this world, their families and their pursuits, their jobs and so forth, until He comes, till the day that He comes. But He tells us, watch. Watch. And that's the only people who are really saved. The only people who really know Christ are the people who are waiting and watching and looking forward to Him. Now. Not looking forward for some... They're not looking forward in the near future. Now. Now. Now again, let me remind you, this is going to be a very brief and general overview of the second coming of Christ. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians not to despise prophesying. Chapter 5, verse 20 said, despise not prophesying. And we've let these people let us shy away from prophesying. You know, we've gone the other extreme. We say, I'm just not going to be taking up prophecy at all because these people are, that's what they're taking up with. No, he says, don't despise prophesying. What he's saying is not to be enamored with it and taken up with it, with prophesying, and leave off the gospel. Don't do that. And there are many people who are looking for signs and wonders and prophesying and so forth that don't even know the Christ who's coming. A lot of people are being taken up with the coming of Christ, but not the Christ who's coming. Some of you know what I'm trying to say there. In other words, you can be taken up with the coming of Christ. All the events and the happenings and so forth. That's interesting. Ooh, really? There's going to be war here. There's going to be this and that and the other. You can be taken up with all those things and not be taken up with Christ. And when He does come, you're going to be like the rest. Somebody said, Joe Terrell it was, that said this. He said, did you know that the spirit of Antichrist is leading the search for the Antichrist? Yeah, they are. They're writing books on the Antichrist. The spirit of Antichrist doth now already work. Spirit of iniquity. There are many Antichrists out there. Anybody who's not preaching Christ is Antichrist. I mean Christ. Every time. All the time. He's Antichrist. Even though he's talking about the coming of Christ, leading the search for the Antichrist, he himself is the Antichrist. Preacher and people alike. So what this tells me, people, is that our great need is to know Christ, right? Not know the Antichrist. Know the Christ. Because I could have the spirit of Antichrist. So my great need, our great need is to know the Christ. Not when He's coming, but to know Him who comes. It's life and death. I'm not splitting hairs here. Look at chapter 24. Look at verse 1, beginning with verse 1 with me. Now, Jesus went out and departed from the temple. And His disciples came to Him for to show Him the buildings of the temple. Now, they were impressed too. And they were going to take the Lord on a tour here. My soul. He who made the heavens. He's going to be impressed. People are doing that today, aren't they? Let's show the Lord. Give Jesus a big hand. You mean to tell me, Him whom angels praise is going to get a thrill out of us clapping our hands? Not loud enough. Let's hear it. Let him hear it. I tell you a better way to praise him. Be still and know that he's God. Let every mouth be stopped. Right? Now they came to show him the buildings of the temple, and Jesus said unto them, "See ye, do you see these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down." And so he left and went out to the Mount of Olives, and the disciples came unto him privately, saying unto him, now they were, obviously he foretold just now that this thing, the world's coming to an end. And they understood that's what he was saying, that the temple's going to fall. And they came to him privately and they said, "Tell us, verse 3, when shall these things be? What shall be the sign of thy coming, of the end of the world?" And Jesus answered and said unto them, and he talked for a while then. Now who is this talking here? Jesus? Now I've got a real problem. I've got a real problem with people who are always referring to Jesus. I've got a real problem with people who are all the time saying Jesus this, or Jesus that, or Jesus said this, especially preachers who are supposed to know better. Jesus loves you. Got their bumper stickers, little signs here and there, and everywhere. If people only know this one here as Jesus, they're dead in their sins. Henry, isn't that what he said in John 8? If you believe not that I am, you're going to die in your sin. And if you just refer to this one as Jesus, you don't know him. You don't know him. I say that to anybody. This is the coming King. Did you read with me in Revelation 19? John, he's not Jesus anymore. He's the Lord. God. Omnipotent. Who reigneth. And on his vesture is written a name. King of kings and Lord of lords. Do you see anywhere, Henry, in the book of Revelation where the people fell down and said, "Blessed is Jesus"? Now, men were ignorant back then of who he was. They were ignorant the first time he came, weren't they? They were ignorant of who this was. He was veiled in a body. He was hidden from human view. And they called him Jesus. That was his name as a man. But he was more than Jesus the first time. And he's more than Jesus now. They called him Jesus. Didn't they say that? Is not this Joseph's son, the carpenter's son? Isn't that Jesus? Mary, his mother? We know his brothers and sisters. Isn't that just Jesus there? And they called him Jesus. But I'm here to tell you this morning, the one who came the first time was not just a man named Jesus. Like I said, that was the name of a child who was born. Right? To distinguishing him from the one who sat on the throne. There's a baby that's going to be born. You call the name of that baby Jesus. Call the name of that man's body Jesus. But on the inside... And when he veils this body, when he puts away this body, he's no longer just a man. He's not just a man. He's not just Jesus. That's the name of his humiliation, the name of his earthly body. He's got three names. The Lord Jesus Christ. Three names. The Lord God Almighty, which is and was and art to come, the Scripture says. And we don't call him by his first name. Besides that, Jesus is not his first name. He has a full name. Three names. And you address him as such if you know him. Right? I instruct and teach my daughter, as well as every other parent ought to do theirs, to have respect for elders. Right? God commands it. That's why. He said in 2 Timothy chapter 3 that in these perilous times will come when children will be disobedient to parents, despisers of that which are good, despising dominion and authority, answering anybody, an adult, preacher, whoever it may be. Yeah, huh? What? I teach mine differently, and I suggest you do the same thing with yours. Tell them to call adults by sir, ma'am, yes, sir, yes, ma'am, no, sir, no, ma'am. Why? God says so. Thou shalt respect thy elders. Honor thy father and thy mother. Honor. That's what the Scripture said. It's good advice. It will reap benefits down through the rest of their lives. And down in Mexico, what I'm trying to say here is we don't call... We don't call God Jesus. We call him... Sir! Right? Yes, Jesus. No, Jesus. Me and Jesus. You don't do that. You say, sir. You say, Lord, if thou wilt. Down in Mexico, you know how they refer to God? You know the name they use for God? They don't have a name necessarily in word. You hear them pray and they'll say, Señor. Señor, I mean, sir, your honor, your majesty, sir, you don't call the Lord of glory Jesus. Is that clear? It ought to be. He is Señor. He is sir. He is Lord. Lord. And all true worshipers and disciples call him Lord. Now you get this straight. Let everybody get this straight. Nowhere in the Scriptures will you ever find the disciples one single time calling him Jesus. Never. In the narrations of the Gospel, that is the Holy Spirit talking and distinguishing between the God who is right then on the throne and the man walking the planet named Jesus. But when the disciples addressed him, how did they address him? Lord, every time. That is the name, that is the title used more than any other throughout the Scriptures. Lord. All thy children shall be taught of God. What are they taught? First thing. Every tongue shall confess that he is what? Lord. That man, that body, was just a plain brown wrapper. And inside that body was the crown jewels of heaven. Inside that plain brown package was the crown jewels of heaven, upon whose name we read it in Revelation 19. He's not a baby in a manger anymore, is he, Terry? He's not a helpless, seemingly helpless man hanging on a cross anymore, is he? He's a Lord. Sitting on a throne. And when he comes back, we're not going to say, there's Jesus. Every tongue's going to say, there's the Lord. And every tongue that knows him now is saying that now. You see, back then, when Christ was here the first time, Every now and then, he would, like peeling off a mask, he wore this body. He looked, Isaiah 53 says he's going to look just like a man, like everybody else. And when we see him, we're going to say, well, he looks just like a man. I don't see any. There's no beauty in him that we should desire him. Show it. They were all the time saying, do something. We want to see something. You don't look like much. Well, every now and then, like he would, like opening the curtain, while he walked this planet, every now and then it would be like peeling back a mask. He'd show his glory. Just for a brief instant. While he walked this planet. One time, the men were out fishing. Peter and the boys out doing a little fishing, John. They were down at Philpot Lake. Doing a little fishing in Peter's boat. And they'd fished all night and hadn't caught a thing. And they were good fishermen. And they were coming in all dog dead tired, you know, and they came in the next morning. Christ was there. Standing on the shore. And they pulled up and he got in. What are we doing? Let's go out here. We're going to do a little fishing. Why not? Master, this is when they said, now teacher, preacher, now you might be able to preach, but you can't fish. Now we're fishermen. We know this business. My daddy taught me this business. I grew up fishing. And you just stay on it. Let's go out here a little bit now. All right. So they cast out on the shore a little bit. He said, and they rowed along a little way, and he said, right here, stop. Right here. Cast your net right there. Oh, we've already fished that spot. Put the net in the water. And they cast that net in the water. And in a few minutes, whales start jumping in that net. Ever fished it, and they couldn't. They called another boat. James, John, hurry, bring your nets. And they started bringing in. The nets were filling up. You see, what Christ had said was to himself. They didn't hear him. He said, fish, get in the net. And they got in the net. You see, because everything in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth know that he's Lord. Even the fish take their orders from him. He said, fish, get in the net. He didn't need bait. Fish, get in the net. And they got in the net. What did Peter do when he saw all this? He saw whose presence he was in. Not Jesus, the teacher. Not Jesus, the preacher. What did he say? He fell down on his knees and said, Lord, I'm in the presence of God here. Lord. And he knew that if he could tell fish what to do, that he was reading his thoughts. He said, oh, I'm a sinful man. You're bound to be reading my mind right now. Another time, he was asleep back in the back of the boat. Remember that? Sleeping back in the back of the boat. And a big storm arose. The sea was tossing to and fro, and these disciples feared for their lives. These were fishing men, too. These were seafaring men. They'd been in a few storms before, and this was a dandy. I mean, it must have been 10, 12-foot waves, gale forces crashing over that boat. And they ran down, Lord, Lord, don't you care if we perish? Woke him up, and he walked out on the bow of that ship, wiped the sleep out of his eyes. And said to the ocean, the raging billows, hush up now. Sit down. Be still. And walk back to the back of that boat. And those disciples. Who is this? That's more than Jesus, isn't it? Huh? That's the Lord. That's the Lord of glory. And the scripture says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Am I splitting hairs this morning? Oh, this is life or death. If you only know this man as Jesus, you don't know him. Whosoever shall call upon the name of Jesus? No. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And then Paul goes on to say, well, how are they going to call on him whom they not believe? Now listen to this verse of Scripture. 1 Corinthians 12:3 says this. No man
can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Spirit. Right?
No man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Spirit. So this reveals to me the state of a man's heart if he calls the Lord of glory Jesus all the time. I'm sorry, folks. I'm not sorry. Why do I say such things? I don't have to apologize for it. He's the Lord. And the Holy Spirit, that's the first thing He teaches everybody. I don't care what Charles Spurgeon said. I don't care how these men preached back then. I don't care how they referred to Him through their writings and through their preaching. I don't care. No man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Spirit. And the disciples called Him Lord. And every child of the Father calls Him Sir. Sir. And I hear a generation of people calling on Jesus. Now here's the difference. You think I'm splitting hairs here? I hear a generation of people calling on Jesus, the healer. Right? Let Jesus heal you. Give Jesus a big hand for healing this woman's knees. Or this man for slaying this one. He's laying on the floor acting like an animal. That's of God. Well, let give Jesus a big hand. Call on Jesus, the miracle worker. Because I can babble like an idiot. Jesus did that. I hear people calling on the breadwinner, Jesus, you know, for loaves and fishes. Jesus, now He'll give you. He'll make you rich. Send me, make me rich first. Jesus will make you rich in turn. I hear them calling on Jesus this, Jesus that. The belly filler, you see. This world's God is their belly. And they call on Jesus who filled bellies. Right? Right? Well, yeah. They did it back then. They're doing it now. Christ turned and said to them, you follow me because you got your belly full. I don't hear very many people crying out, Lord, save us or we perish. I hear Jesus fill my belly. Jesus heal my arthritis. Jesus do this. I don't hear very many people say, Lord, forgive me of my sins. Have mercy on me, O God. According to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgression. Do you hear that? Oh, men hadn't changed one bit. A few people have. Blessed eyes and ears. He said even in another place. He said not everyone that even says, Lord, Lord, is going to enter the kingdom of heaven. Because, and I hear this all the time. I hear him call him Lord every now and then. You know, Kenneth Copeland, is that his name? Can't hardly take that name in my lips. It brings up bowels out of my stomach. But I hear him say at the end, you know, Jesus is Lord. You know how he does it. Shucks. These people draw near to me with their lips, Christ said, but their heart is far from me. No, Kenneth says you're as much Lord as he is. Doesn't it? And we said in that book, Ed, you're just as much God as Christ is. That's exactly, you're just as much a son of God as the son of God is. That's what Kenneth Copeland said. Kenneth Hagin. They draw near. Not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, is going to enter the kingdom of heaven either. But he that doeth the will of my heavenly Father. Now, what's the will of the heavenly Father? That every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that He's Lord to the glory of the Father, not to the glory of my ministry. Right? To the glory of God the Father. Bowing, confessing, preaching the Lordship of Christ. And it's not just a debate today. Some of these fellows talking about the Lordship of Christ debate today. They're not calling Him Lord. I'm not going to go into that. But you see, some people will have Him Lord over creation, even. They'll talk about Him as Lord. The Lord did that. You know, a little thunder in the heaven. Bang. Lord did that. Lord over creation. The Lord made it. A lot of creation believers, you know, good fundamental Baptists, they believe that God created the world. They believe that. Lord over creation and providence, they believe. Everybody believes the Lord, good fundamentals do. God gave us our food and our clothes. Yeah, the Lord did that. Not many people believe that the Lord is the one who not only heals, but wounds. Right? They'll believe in the Lord, all right, but not one who wounds as well as heals. Not one who kills. As well as rich. Deuteronomy 32:39. Isaiah 45:7. Not many people believe in a Lord like that, do they? Not many people believe in a Lord who casteth down as well as raiseth up. Right? Now many call Him Savior, too. Savior. Jesus is my Savior. Many people call Him Savior, but only a few select, chosen individuals call Him a just God and a Savior. Right? That He is sovereign, holy, just. He's God who will by no means clear the guilty. And will have mercy. A lot of people call on Jesus for mercy or grace or this and that and that. Very few people believe in the Lord who will have mercy, on whom He will have mercy, and whom He will, He hardeneth. Is that what the Scripture says? Now that's the Lord. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the one who came the first time. Though they didn't see it, men didn't like it, and they sought to kill Him. We don't like this. And He was actually there, God, sovereign, the man who reigned over them, was actually there in person, and they could get their hands on Him then. If men could now, they'd do the same thing. But they got their hands on Him and said, "You say You're God. We're not going to have that now. We'll have You heal us. We'll have You feed us. We'll have You work miracles, but You are not going to reign over us. We're not going to bow our knee to You. We've got a free will. And I'll have you know, my mother was a good mother." See, what's that got to do with you? She said, "When I came, they had no excuse for their sin." Christ came, He revealed the state of every man's heart, including their mother's. If that good, moral, upright Pharisee was a sinner and a wretch, so was his mother. And they said, "We will not have this man." And they killed Him. Didn't they? Now, wait a minute. The Scripture says that they did what God had determined before to be done. Many times they tried to kill Him and couldn't. Why? He's the Lord. You don't kill God. God kills you. Right? Said, "I'm the Lord, I kill, I make alive." You don't kill God. He does killing. And He said, "Nobody going to kill me unless I kill myself." So one day He finally submitted Himself into their hands and said, "Okay, I'm going to use you to kill me. Okay, now I'm yours. Your hour has come. Do what you will." And they killed Him. But they did what God determined before to be done. Why? He had to die. If anybody's going to be saved, they're going to have to be saved by blood, by sacrifice. That's what the whole Old Testament talks about. Blood. Bloody sacrifice. Why? Because God's just. He says, you sin, you're going to die. And so we all got to die. Unless somebody dies for us. And Christ came down here for a particular people and died to pay for their sin. And lived to make a righteousness that God can give these people and receive into His sight. But they took this one and killed him and put him in a grave and rolled a stone over the door and thought they were through with him, didn't they? But he rose again. He rose from the grave. He rose from the grave, went back to heaven to finish the sacrifice that he started on the earth. Go back there and pour that blood, whatever he did, Terry, in the Holy of Holies in heaven. He entered in once into the holy place, not made with hands, having obtained eternal redemption to make that sacrifice for us. And he sat down. All right? He sat down. For a while. He's seated right now. But the book says he's not going to stay seated. I was talking to Brother Todd on the phone about this, about Christ coming. He said, I just get excited talking about it. You, hearing you say it. He said, oh, wouldn't you love for him to come right now? You see, that's salvation. I believe that man knows God. He wants him to come. But this one, who is Lord over all, is seated on a throne, and he said himself in a parable, he said, once the master of the house is risen up, that's all she wrote. He's coming again. The Lord of glory. The Lord of glory. And the scripture says, every eye shall behold him. We read it there in Matthew 24. It says, the people of the earth shall moan and bewail because of him. Why? Because they're going to see him as he is. Not a blue-eyed, red-haired Caucasian who looks like Buffalo Bill. Not a baby in a manger. Not a man hanging on a cross with a poor, pitiful look in his eye. Not one sitting in the arms of a woman, the Madonna. But we're going to see him, every eye is going to see him as he is. Not was, is. And we read it. Eyes as a flame of fire. Out of his mouth goes a sharp sword. His face as the sun that shineth in all of his strength. Vesture dipped in blood. Red dripping with blood. A sword in his hand. King of kings. Lord of lords. Does that scare you? I need the fear of the Lord. It's the beginning of wisdom. Ain't nobody fear Jesus. Do they? Fear of the Lord. That's who's coming, folks. And he said, at a time when you think not, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, eating and drinking, giving and marrying, marrying and marrying, giving and marrying. He said, I come. Three times in Revelation 22, he says, I'm coming quickly. Three times. Behold, he said, behold, I come quickly. Three times. Behold, I come quickly. Behold, I come quickly. And you know what the last verse says? It says God's people are going to say, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, come. We're ready.
We're waiting. You see, we're bowing to you now as Lord. We love you now as Lord. We're worshiping you now as Lord. We're seeking you now as Lord. We're calling upon you now as Lord. Save me or I perish. Not then. Everybody's going to call upon Him then to save us. Oh, it struck me like a ton of bricks in Matthew 25 while we were reading that. It said over in the other page, verse 11. It says, afterwards the other virgins, that is the one who didn't have oil, didn't have real work of the Holy Spirit in them, they said, Lord, Lord! That's like that was a neon sign jumping out of me. Everybody's going to call upon Him then. Lord, save us or we perish. Too late. Call upon now. Now is the day of salvation, the Scripture says, doesn't it? Today, He said that three times in Hebrew. Today, if you'll hear His voice. Whose voice? The Lord. And He says, bow. He says, confess. He says, call upon Him. You're a sinner in need of mercy under the wrath and condemnation of God. Call upon Him. How? What do you mean, how? Call upon Him. Lord, save me, or I perish, for the rest of this world is perished. Lord of glory. And I tell you what, when John saw that vision we read about, John fell on his face as a dead man. And so do everybody else who see Him now. Everybody who sees Him now, they fall on their face before Him and say, I'm dead in trespasses and sin. Lord, have mercy upon my sinful soul. If you've never done that, you've never seen Him. And you continue to do that from that day forward. You never get off of your face. Mary didn't, did she? She never left His feet. Fall at His feet and worship. So this is what I'm saying here. That's what I'm trying to get at in the course of this message. First thing we need to know about the second coming of Christ is who's coming. Not when. Not all the signs that lead up to it. Who's coming? Who's coming? And why He came the first time. We got to know why He came the first time. So the second time, He won't come for you. He either came for you the first time in salvation, or He's coming for you the second time in judgment. But He came the first time to glorify the Father, to live a life as a man, to establish a righteousness. We got to have it. Right? We got to be perfect. God won't have us. Christ lived that life to give it to some people who, whoever asked for it. And died a death that we deserve. Who did He do that for? Whoever asked for it. And then go back to the Father and sit down and await all His people to hear this gospel. And He's coming back again. But the next time, it's not going to be an open door of salvation, is it, Terry? No. His coming again will be the door closed. He says, you're trying to scare me. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, Paul said, we beseech you, be reconciled. Call upon the Lord while He may be found. You may be found right now. Today's the day of salvation. Don't put it off. My soul. No promise of when He's coming. I mean, the exact hour. Maybe tomorrow. I believe, folks. I believe He's coming real soon. Real soon. You don't have to take my word for it either. Well, you come back tonight and I'm going to show you from God's Word. We're going to look tonight at the signs of His coming. Now, don't come out just for interest's sake.
you go home first and get in your closet and pray that the Lord will reveal the one who is coming first. And if he does that, then you'll can rightly look at the signs of his coming. Okay.
Stand with me.
Let's pray together. Great God of all glory, Lord God, may you impress upon us our desperate need of Christ, to know him, to know him, and to bow to him and believe him, trust him, rest in him, seek him, follow him. We're either following him or we're following the world. Can't serve two masters. Christ said that. He said that. And Lord God, we want to know Christ. We want to follow Christ. In the midst of this perverse generation, would you save us from this untoward generation? The world is headed the wrong way. They're headed toward hell. It's an untoward generation. We want to head toward Christ, toward glory. Call us by your grace. Enable us to call upon you by your grace for salvation. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
You're dismissed.